sitting in adult worship service. As I begin my message this morning, I'm going to deliver you something. Ushers, I need two ushers. In communion set that you have never, and I doubt any other preacher in time and history, has ever delivered what's in this communion set. One to each person. Five kernels of corn. And I've got some more. We need some more. Thank you. Now I washed it. So it's not contaminated. And I see Bill counting it, making sure he's got his five kernels. There's supposed to be five in each one. I counted it out. While they're passing out the corn, let's put up the text, Sister Emily. My text is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13. I was preparing for this a week before Thanksgiving. And I don't know, the Lord just kind of impressed me, still preach the Thanksgiving message, even though Thanksgiving is over. And lo and behold, Brother Eric preached about forgiveness and not about Thanksgiving. We're thankful for those two loads of hay he unloaded for us last Sunday. That was a great message on Thanksgiving, or on forgiveness. But here the psalmist is praising the Lord. Listen to what he says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. How many of you ever get your innermost being involved in anything? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Did you have enough? Who forgives all your sins and bless you. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness. Bless you, Edna. Bless you, bless you, bless you. That's all right, mate. How many here's ever sneezed? All right. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Aren't you glad?
Lord, yes.
Slow to anger, abounding in love. love, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, praise the Lord, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Oh, isn't that magnificent? As far as the east is from the west, hallelujah, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Glory. I've gotten on an airplane in D.C. and flew clear to Australia. Clear across the time zone, the other side of the earth, and yet east was still over in front of me after all of that travel. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Somebody say praise the Lord. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Hallelujah. Sister Liz, would you ask the Lord to bless this message?
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just want to tell you this morning we love you. And Father, we are so thankful and so grateful for the love you have for us. Father, we just pray you come down amongst us today, Father.
Yes.
Each one of us, God, so that we can get to see you for who you are.
Hallelujah.
And just bask in your love and your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, the Pilgrim Fathers who landed at Plymouth Rock, been over 300 years ago, knew nothing of the affluent times which you and I live in this country today. If they had turned around and saw one of those Indians riding in a Ford F-150, let me tell you, they would have thought, let's get back on the boat and head back over. They had no idea of the kind of affluence. How many of you had a big dinner on Thanksgiving? More than you could handle. After I had eaten that turkey Linda baked, after I had eaten the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the stuffing right out of the bird, oh my, and the peas, and I'm telling you what I said, I've got a problem, I want more, but I don't have any room. The pilgrims had no idea of the kind of affluent times that you and I live in today. The next time you're tempted to complain about inflation and the state of our economy, I want you to remember the following. During the first long winter at Pilgrim Colony, Plymouth Colony, there were 7 times as many graves as there were for the dead as there were homes for the living. Can you imagine? The ship which was to bring food and relief only brought 35 more mouths to feed and not an ounce of provision. Touching indeed must have been that picture of William Brewster, the governor, rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner, which consisted of a plate of clams and a glass of cold water. That was their Thanksgiving dinner. He arose with that sitting before him to thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasure hid in the sand. Wow. The pilgrims didn't have much, but they possessed a great gratitude. And it was upon this very thing that America was built. Gratitude to God. These stalwart people, strong, devout, and sincere, were the timbers upon which our nation was founded. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They had a custom of putting 5 kernels of corn on every empty plate before a dinner of thanksgiving was served to them. Each member of the family would pick up a kernel and tell what they were thankful for. It was to remind them that the first pilgrims were in such dire straits that their allowance for dinner was 5 kernels of corn per person each day. How many have more than 5 kernels of corn in your refrigerator? Are we to be thankful? Look at these people. Now you understand why you have 5 kernels of corn. We have many reasons to be thankful. And I want to take just 5 grains of corn and using Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5 as a basis to think about 5 things to praise God for. Have your corn in your hand. In this psalm, David calls upon his body, his mind, his soul, and his spirit to join in one grand symphony of praise for the benefits God has so graciously bestowed upon him. Can you see these benefits? Can you see the 5 benefits? You had a piece of paper laying on your chair. It has those 5 benefits written on it. 1 per family. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Nathan back there behind doesn't have one. There's some extras laying around. He's got it. The first kernel of corn is the kernel of forgiveness. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 3. Who forgives all your sins. How many sinners have we had here in the... Oh my. You mean all of us have sinned? Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that when you came to Jesus and asked Him forgiveness, He said, I'll only forgive you of half of your sins. What if He would have said, I'll forgive you of all 99 of them, but not that last 100? Huh? We would still be just as guilty, wouldn't we? But here the psalmist says, He forgives all our sins. One day, a fellow was visiting his pastor in the parsonage, and he picked up a book the pastor had lying on his desk, and he began to read, and suddenly he shouted out loud, Glory! Praise the name of the Lord! The preacher wasn't used to that kind of action. So he said, What's the matter with you? The visitor replied, This book that in certain places the sea 5 miles deep. Well, yeah, that's right. What of it? Said the preacher. Well, the visitor answered and said, "You know, the Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. And if it's that deep, I'm sure they're never going to resurface again." Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, there's no mistaking. God offers forgiveness. All any person must do is repent and forsake his sin, and God will forgive him of all and revoke the penalty of sin. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This forgiveness is a promise of the Father. It's a provision of the Son. It's a proclamation in the Bible, and hallelujah, it's a required practice in the church. Hallelujah. You walk in here with all your sins loading you down and come to the altar of God and ask Him forgiveness. Hallelujah. He forgives you all, and that behooves the church to never mention them again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. From the depths of our hearts, says the psalmist, a sense of gratitude should well up within us. Gratitude should ascend like the incense in the temple to the throne of God. Somebody pull out a grain of corn and say, "Thank you, God, for forgiving me of all my sins." Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The second kernel is representative of redemption. Psalm 103:4. Listen to what the writer said. Who redeems your life from the pit? Glory. The London Times publishes the prices paid for artwork and for art objects in all the sales rooms of the world. And if a painting is sold in New York or Paris or Rome or London, the Times gives the full details of the sale. And you can judge the value of a painting by the price that was paid for it. We used to go on a few cruises, and Linda would never go with me, but they always have an art sale on the boat. Probably on a Wednesday, and I go to the art sale and I walk up and down through all those paintings, and I look at them and I pick out the one that, you know, I would like to have. And oh, I think over it and I think over it and I look at it, and then I go sit down and get my voting card and or my auction card, and they put it up for sale, and I never hear what I want to hear. $1,000, and I go, "Oh my, it's gone. It's by such and such an artist. Who give to?" And after a while, it's $10,000 or $12,000. I say, "Oh, there goes my painting." But I can tell what it's worth by the price that was paid for it. And we can judge our value by the price Jesus paid for us. The depths into which He had to reach in order to redeem us. How many know you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, friend, there's never been a price paid for your life, for your soul, for your redemption and your salvation that equals the price that Jesus paid. And that tells you how valuable you are to God. Governor Neff of Texas spoke to the assembled convicts of penitentiaries of that state in Texas. He finished by saying to all of these prisoners and inmates that were in front of him, listening to him speak, said, "When the meeting is over," he said, "I'll meet with each each one of you, as many as want to talk to me after the service is over. And so one by one, they came up to the governor. Most of them were lifers. They had received a life sentence, and they told the governor their problems, and most every one of them, one by one, told the governor, said, there was a frame-up, there was an injustice, and there was a judicial blunder, and I'm not worthy of this sentence that's been given to me. And finally, after he had listened to one after the other, a prisoner stepped up to him and said to him, Governor, I just want to say that I'm guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I've paid for it. And if I am freed, I would do everything that I can to be a good citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy. Guess who the governor pardoned? That gentleman. Because he knew he was guilty. He admitted his guilt. And so it was that we who have been redeemed from the awful sentence that we were under, hallelujah, but there's a difference. We can't say that we paid for any of it, because as the old hymn says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left us and stain, he washed me white as snow. Hallelujah! If we will plead his blood, God will redeem us. Amen. The Lord not only redeemed our soul from hell, but he also redeemed our lives from the clutches of the devil. Amen. Satan is bent on damning our souls and destroying our lives. But thanks be to God who redeems us from his power. Hallelujah. All one has to do is take a look at our penitentiaries, look at the sanitariums, look at the hospitals and the halfway houses. They're full of people whose lives have been destroyed by the devil. But look at you. You've been redeemed, and the powers of Satan can no longer come against you. I was talking to Sister Ruth again the other day in the hospital, and she said, Pastor Lay, some years ago I did something and I never got a chance to make it right. And all of this time I thought I had peace with the Lord, and all of a sudden here it is back. I've asked God to forgive me, and I did my best to let the individual know that I was sorry for what I did. But the other night this thing came back up and it bothered me all night long. And I said, Sister Ruth, who do you think's responsible for that? The old enemy. The old devil. Right before you're going in for this operation, right before you're facing this life or death situation, the old devil is trying to put doubt in your heart and doubt in your mind. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus over him right now, and he has to leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Christ, and the old devil, she said, I've got peace. Glory. Hallelujah. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a praise, him a praise in my heart. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Somebody raise a kernel of corn and say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming me from sin and redeeming me from the power of Satan. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Third kernel is the kernel of healing. Verse 3 says, who heals all your diseases. Now, sometimes we're a little reluctant about this one because God doesn't heal everyone immediately. He doesn't heal everyone all the time. And yet, the psalmist said, who heals all our diseases. But I believe the Holy Spirit can help us see three important truths here contained in this verse. All healing is divine healing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
If I cut my hand, it heals up. Where'd that come from? God. Build it in. Amen. All right. So, all healing is divine. All recovery from sickness and injury and surgery is the result of the healing properties that God has built into our bodies. Medicine, surgery, therapy are merely extensions, hello, of God's healing ministry. This verse doesn't say that God heals everyone's diseases, but that He heals all diseases. Now, I've stood in the funerals for several people down through the years who died of cancer. And yet on the Eastern Shore, I had a gentleman in the church. They asked me to go to Wilmington, Delaware to pray for him. He was in the hospital up there, and I went, and he was skin and bone. And the doctor told his wife, go home, make arrangements with the funeral director, because he's going to die. The church prayed, hallelujah, and he got well.
Hallelujah.
He helped build the Bay Bridge, the second span across the Chesapeake Bay. He helped me build the parsonage down on the Eastern Shore. He's still living as far as I know.
Praise the Lord.
His wife died and he got remarried. Why did the Lord heal him and not some of the other? I don't know the answer to all of those questions. But I know He heals cancer. I know He heals all manner of diseases. As the psalmist said, there's no disease or sickness that lies beyond His healing power. Not even what we call incurable. Incurable. He is the great physician. Amen. The main truth I learned is that the psalmist is speaking to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all who heals all my diseases. Now the diseases of the soul emanate from a virus that is called sin. Hello. Jesus identified this virus and its symptoms and its disorders. In Matthew 15, He said, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Just as surely as some disorders of the body can be cured by medicine and surgery, so the soul of man, hallelujah, can be cleansed, purged, and purified by the grace of the Lord Jesus and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of your souls has ever been sick? Your innermost being. And God has reached down and touched you and healed you. I want you to raise another kernel of corn and say, thank God He heals all our diseases.
diseases. Amen?
The fourth kernel of corn, in verse 4, the psalmist says, crowns us with your love and compassion. Hang on, I've only got one more after this kernel. Oh wow. In one of Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman's meetings, a man rose to give the following remarkable testimony. He said, I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot one day as a tramp, begging for food. Said, for a year, I begged on the streets for the living, for a living. And said, one day, I touched a man on the shoulder and I said to him, Mister, please give me some money so I can get something to eat. As soon as I saw the man's face when he turned around, he said, I recognized him as my father. Father, don't you know me? Throwing his arms around him, he said, my father cried and said, I found you. I found you. All I have is yours. Think of it, that a tramp stood begging his father for a few coins when for 18 years he had been looking for him to give him everything he had. Oh wow, how similar that is to the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord which accompany our lives every day. We're begging and we're begging for the things of this old earth when all the time the Father in heaven is reaching out and saying, all I have is yours. Somebody raise a kernel of corn and say, thank you, Father, for the inheritance that you provided for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. The last kernel of corn represents the kernel of satisfaction and renewal. Verse 5, who satisfies, praise the Lord, say it with me, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Reminds me of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, who said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. There's a great paradox here. We're satisfied, but never satisfied. Hello? My wife makes the best apple pie in the world. And on Thanksgiving Day, she put a bunch of candles in the apple pie and brought it in to our daughter whose birthday was on Thanksgiving. And we sang happy birthday over an apple pie. And then she cut it. I couldn't wait till they got the fire blew out. She cut it and put a piece on my plate, and let me tell you, it was lip-chocking good. Amen. I asked her yesterday, where's the rest of that pie? I sent it home with your daughter. Oh, Lord. Go buy some more apples. I'm always satisfied when I can eat some. But I always want more. Because what I've experienced makes me want to taste it again and again and again. Some fella who sits on the front row of Emmanuel Chapel every Sunday put a picture of a piece of pumpkin pie on Facebook, but you couldn't see the pie.
Yes.
For all the whipped cream.
Oh, yeah.
He was covered. I said, yuck. I like pumpkin pie. Not ice cream, or not whipped cream.
It's the treasure at the bottom.
Pray for him, please.
Did I get more whipped cream? Pray for me.
But you know what it's like. How many of you, once you taste something, you want more? And you can't wait to get back for more. And you need a little more. Oh my. That's the way it is with righteousness, my friend. We're filled, and the feeling is so sweet, hallelujah, and so rich, and so full, that we want more of the Lord and His righteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
When we seek God's righteousness, He grants it. Listen to Psalm 107. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Hallelujah! How many have as much of God as you want? How many want some more? You've tasted of the Lord and it's good, and you want more of it. Amen? Hallelujah. A famous surgeon was seldom seen on the streets without a beautiful fresh rose in his lapel. His friends wondered about it. Why these rose buds that he always wore stayed so fresh for such a long time. And so they asked him, and he just simply flipped over his lapel, and there was a little bottle of water on the back, with the stem of the rose down in it. Wow, he had learned the secret. And so it is with believers. If our lives draw from the great resources of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, who is to us the water of life, praise the Lord, we will grow more fragrant and beautiful as the days and the years go by. Amen. You all say to me, where's your hair gone? I say, I'm fresher than ever before, because I'm drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. The result of living a fulfilled, satisfied spiritual life is constantly renewed day by day as we are in the Lord. Now, the psalmist mentioned the eagle here. Do you know that every year the eagle molts, sheds all of his feathers and grows new ones? And he can fly higher and further than ever before. You know, I like it every day when I get up. I'm fresh and new for another day. Hello.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Some of you groan and grumble and growl about trying to get out of bed. Brother Louis came in this morning and told me this 90-year-old couple got married. And they went on their honeymoon. 5 days later, they were able to get out of the car. I dare say not much probably happened in that car. But thank the Lord for His renewal. How many of you can get on your knees, or you can talk to God, you can open the book and you begin to read, and the blessings of God come wafting down? And you feel like a brand new individual in Christ. He makes us new every day. Hold up that fifth kernel of corn and give praise to God for His refreshing of your soul day by day. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Raise all five kernels of corn. No wonder the psalmist said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that
that is within me. Bless His holy name. Stand with me. Let's say it together. Let's say it from the bottom of our hearts, from our innermost being. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Give Him praise in the house of God this morning. Hallelujah. Now I want you to take those 5 kernels of corn home. Put them someplace with that piece of paper. And now for the rest of your life, you have 5 reasons to give praise to God every day. Turn to somebody and say, boy, I'm happy. I'm happy.